This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Jury selection about to begin in less than a week in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. Psychologist John Delatorre is with us to talk about that process, finding qualified jurors for this upcoming trial, and making sure that they can be unbiased. That's got to be a very difficult thing to find at this point. Oftentimes, I think when the public thinks of, oh, you're finding a jury, they should know nothing about the case. That's not always really how it works, though. Correct, John?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it's not that you're trying to find someone who has no knowledge of the case. It's that you're trying to find a group of individuals that won't be impacted by the knowledge that they have of the case, that they're going to render a verdict based solely on the evidence provided in court. In this case, I think it's going to be extremely difficult. I can't even, so as part of my work, I do trial consultation, which includes voir dire, meaning that I help attorneys try to build the best jury for their case. Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know who is going to be on. You can't have parents. You can't have religious individuals. You can't have women. You can't. There are so many people that you can't have just because of the overarching issues surrounding this case. I think it's going to be extremely difficult to find 12 jurors and however many alternates that there needs to be for this. This is going to be very difficult. It's going to be very, very difficult.
Walk me through
to narrow down.
Walk me through the process a little bit of how that goes on in the audience, so they can understand how the selection takes place, what sort of questions are asked in a case like this to determine whether or not someone is fit to serve on a jury. What disqualifies someone? What qualifies someone?
Well, everyone ultimately kind of is qualified from the beginning. I mean, so the process is you receive a letter in the mail to respond to a cattle call. From that cattle call, all the different people that have been, you know, announced to be eligible for assignment to a jury can then gets put randomly into whatever courts are available and looking for juries. And then from there, you can ask kind of whatever questions you want to ask, so long as you're not committing a jury member to a particular position.
Okay.
So if you're asking the a potential jury member that if you present one piece of evidence that guarantees that they will render a verdict, you can't ask those questions. You can't ask real questions about the person's kind of like personal stuff. There are some things where you're going to have to know, has anybody been involved in a civil trial before? Has anybody been involved in a criminal trial before? So you're going to ask those kinds of questions, but you're not going to ask, you know, how many times have, you know, a potential jury member been married, right? So, mm-hmm. So there's a level of personal invasion that can happen. But ultimately, we're really just looking at, are you someone that can put aside what you know about something, listen to whatever it is that is being presented, and make decisions based solely on the information that you are given, not information that you kind of heard from before when it comes to this case. It's really just about what you bring as you, not anything else, what you bring as you in relation to the evidence that you heard. And you kind of just go from there. And it can be very difficult for attorneys to find the best group, because strikes, right? So attorneys have the ability to say no. There's a limited amount of ability to say no. But they can say no to potential jurors that, you know, might have been beneficial to the other side. But, you know, this will be an interesting process to see unfold. This part, at least, will be an interesting process to see unfold.
How long could something like that take for jury selection when they're going through this? And and the pool of people that they request to show up to be considered. Is that all they get? Like, can they go through all of these and go, well, we only found six, we need more? And then they, then more requests go out, or do they have to figure out of the pool that comes in that they have to use that a certain amount out of that specific pool?
I think that kind of depends on the jurisdiction. So like in a big city, you could easily have 90 to 120 people as part of the cattle call be assigned to that one specific court. And so then you're trying to whittle it down for 12 plus four, just generally four, it doesn't have to be four, but 12 plus four jurors. I've seen it take like weeks to do, but it shouldn't. It should take a solid several days to do that. But once you've exhausted the pool, I guess it's possible to make another call, right? Yeah. So to have another cattle call until you get the number that you need. But you only have a certain number of strikes on both sides. So at some point, you're just going to have someone on the jury that, you know, maybe you didn't want, but you don't have any ability to take them off.
And there's obviously a certain amount of magical thinking that goes on with Lori Daybell that's going to be taken into account here in this trial. But if you were to say, you know, any form of religion can be considered some form of magical thinking. She obviously took it a bit extreme with believing that her children were zombies, allegedly, and killing them. Others, you know, don't go that far, but it's still magical thinking. Is religion something that's going to play a big part in terms of who they select or who's going to be allowed to be in a jury in this case?
Yeah, I do. I think it really depends on how you view religion in context of the side of the case that you're on. That I think it's possible that you don't want to have someone who is devout in their religion because they can see what they would see is someone like Lori being a charlatan. And so they might have an implicit bias against someone like that, that perhaps someone who just kind of views themselves as spiritual may not necessarily have that kind of bias associated with Lori Daybell's belief system. Now, the contents of the belief system, that's a different problem that you're having to face. But when it comes to organized religion, it's certainly possible that individuals who are ardent believers can view what she thinks as more problematic than someone who maybe not be as ardent. And it's vice versa as well, that someone not very religious can see it as problematic, that someone who maybe is a little bit more devout doesn't see the problem.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the many cases that we are following for you right here. You can even get an ad-free experience when you sign up through Apple Podcasts. Do check that out. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.